Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Around the late 1990s and early 2000s, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod president at the time, Reverend Alvin Berry, wrote a series of pamphlets that we entitled, What About? You'll find some of those at the front of the church or the rear of the church, depending on your view, as you find your way home this afternoon into this day. What about? Sometimes as people, we have that question, not just in church, but in our lives. What about this? How does that shape what we believe in? Well, before we get into the more crucial hot topics of the day that you may see that we'll be touching upon, I think we have to start right from where it hits home the closest, our own faith. What about being a Lutheran? What about the Lutheran worship that we do? Well, what about it? Why are we here? Why are we doing the things that we do? Now, in order to kind of touch upon that, there's one thing that's going to drive it all. The determining factor, I think, why we're Lutherans, why we're called Lutheran, even though we're Christian, the determining factor, why we're here, is that Christ is always at the center. That's going to drive the meaning behind everything that we do. The scripture that we hear, the music that we sing and hear, the services that we attend, the way we treat others, the things that we believe in, the things that we do, take part in. All of it is because Christ is at the center, and he's right where he should be. It's through Christ alone that we are here today. The Spirit of God moves through you for some reason or another, and where you are here sitting in the chairs that you are in today. You could have been anywhere else, but it was the Spirit of God, and it's through Christ that you're here, receiving from him. Now that's another thing. It's important to note that as Lutherans, we take part in what we do today is called the divine service. Every time the Lord provides for us, every time we have a communion service, every time we hear the word of God spoken, we call it a divine service. You ever heard that before? It's often wrote in our old hymnals. We take part in here. This is a divine service. Now, what exactly does that mean? Are we here to give God our weekly donation to pay our dues? Like, how does that work? No. You see, as Lutherans, why we believe what we believe, again, Christ at the center, we believe that it's God serving us, serving you. We don't come here to pay our dues to God, to just put in our daily dose of obeying the third commandment, of remembering the Sabbath day. No. Believe it or not, it's God who is serving you right here, right now. It's God who is coming down to us, not us ascending up to him, reaching him by our good deeds, our good words, our good actions, our good thoughts, our good performance. No, it's God doing all the work for you right here, right now. And that's what's so blessed about what we do here. Again, it is in Christ alone that we do these things. Christ is always at the center. And the answer to what we'll find out through these questions that we ask, what about, we'll find that the answer always will go back to Jesus. That's no mistake that he is the typical Sunday school answer. It's Jesus. This is why we're here. So again, Christ is at the center. Now that's going to affect a lot of things that we do here. Some of us come from varying backgrounds. Some of us were different brands of Lutheranism. Maybe we are Wisconsin Synod. Some of us were part of what we call the ELCA. Some of us maybe were part of Roman Catholicism in our past. Something very different or somewhere in between. But why we're here today is that we acknowledge Christ is doing some very good things, not just in our service, but throughout our lives. One of those important things to note are what we call the sacraments. Here, again, God is serving us through simple bread and wine, but it's not simple. It's in with and under are his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. This is not symbolic in nature, as some churches may claim, a mere remembrance of what God has already done. Here at this table, you receive the forgiveness of sins through Christ's body and blood, sacrificed for you. Here at that baptismal font, where some of you, or maybe you've witnessed before, through that simple water, it's not holy water or water from the Jordan River, through that simple water, God gives you his divine service, the blessings that only God can give, the blessings of life in him, forgiveness through him. So that's what is really the main marker that you'll find. In a Lutheran church, you will see God present through the sacraments, what we call them. Lutheran church believes that the sacraments we celebrate are, again, the Lord's Supper, the sacrament of the altar, and the sacrament of holy baptism. And in some way or another, through our confession and absolution, which we begin each service, we again receive the forgiveness of sins. Now that's important because you might visit another church, and that's encouraged, and that's okay. It's good to know what others believe in because that's all the more how we can become better Christians ourselves. But you'll notice sometimes people get a little bit off from that main point, Christ at the center. Sometimes in our world, in our country even, churches have taken on kind of the world's theology, ideas. Now, there's going to be a difference. I'll make it simple. We believe in what we call sacramental theology. Big word just means that we believe in God through his gifts, his sacraments. A mystery that we can't possibly understand. God uses certain things that he chooses to reveal himself. We know about God through his word. We know about God, and we receive the blessings God has to give through these things. That's what God wants. It's hard to understand, I know. Now, because it's so hard to understand, there is what we call a different type of theology. It's an idea of logical theology. You'll see a lot of churches that kind of adhere to that. Something that we've gained through the years of the Enlightenment, from the 1700s until the 1800s. Since we don't really understand how God could be present in bread and wine or through water, we'll just say that it's like symbolic of him giving us these things, okay? Because it just doesn't make sense. We got to be reasonable people, right? The Word of God is not exactly the Word of God, they would say, some people would say. It's meant to kind of give us good stories and kind of encourage us to be better people, to be moral, right? You might hear some varying degrees of that. Now, that's kind of the extreme. But you'll, again, churches will be driven by one of those two sections, sacramental theology or what we call logic or reasoning theology. That's what separates a lot of churches, sadly. The thing is, as people, we will find out we're never going to understand God, no matter how hard we try. And that's a good thing, because if there's a God that I want to understand, that's not a God to me. God is not something that we can understand. We just simply receive what he can give us. That's the God that is the true God. So we believe in sacraments, holy acts God performs for us through simple means, sometimes through bread and wine, sometimes through simple water, sometimes through simple people, sinners like me. God accomplishes great things. Now, let's go on to that. What about this Lutheran worship that we believe in? Why do we have a worship service structured like we do today? Well, you'll note, we start all things, as I note, remembering our baptism. Each and every day we wake up is a gift of life. Every breath we take is a gift that God has given us. And when we are baptized, either as an infant or as an adult, we remember that that was a gift of life where God claimed us as his own, where God truly imparted what he did on the cross. It was at the font where we can say the definitive date that we were saved. Because in that sacrament, God gives us what he has done for us. So, right from the get-go, beginning of worship, we remember that. And we thank God for that, that we get to be called children of God. That's what we call the invocation. Then we'll move on to some hymns. I think that's a good thing. Now, churches, more or less, might have different songs. Some might be easier to sing. Some might be pretty hard. Some might be more of a medieval dirge. Some might be kind of hip. We might have screens up on the wall. We might have hymnals. Some might like one or the other, but all give glory to God, I think. Now, what's interesting, though, just for example, we'll turn back to that last hymn that we sang, hymn number 578. If you want to turn to it, you can, but what's interesting, this simple hymn, even though it might be a different way of singing, it, again, proclaims God. Christ is always at the center. If you noticed, this was written by Martin Fransman, a man named Martin Fransman. Who is he? He happened to be a professor at my alma mater, Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. He wrote this hymn to be another way of stating our Christian faith through the creed, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed. It goes from talking about God creating the world. It goes to God, to Christ, suffering and dying on the cross. And it goes to the Holy Spirit, living and breathing and moving in and through you. Again, leading us to giving us lips to sing thy glory, tongues that thy mercy to proclaim. We just sang the creed without even knowing it. God's using us through just a hymn. So again, even our hymns bring glory back to God. We'll start with a call to worship. We spoke the words of Psalm 139 today as an intro it. We're again reading the word of God. We confess our sins, starting out with our service. We come into the presence of his service, acknowledging that we don't have it all together. From the little of us to the oldest of us, we messed up this last week, and so we come bowing our knees and hoping and praying and trusting that God will forgive us. That's what we call absolution. You're absolved. You're forgiven. We'll move on from there. We'll pray, thanking God for these things. And then we'll move on to our scripture readings. You'll notice that we usually have a whole company of God's Word. The Old Testament, the epistles of St. Paul and the New Testament, and then out of those four wonderful books, we call the Holy Gospels. Again, God continually giving us what he has to give, his word, a word of hope, the good news. We'll move on from varying degrees, making sure that our children hear the same thing that we as adults are hearing. And then we'll get into the sermon. Again, some may say this is the climax of the service. Some might even make it the point of the service. Some might even go really long. Some might preach for a 30-minute sermon, which a lot of us probably don't like, and I promise I won't do today. I'll try to keep it under 15. But again, the sermon isn't the climax. It's not about me. The pastor isn't the focal point, no matter how many pastors like to think they are. We are the voice of God speaking. The voice of God speaking humble words through humble lips. That's why you see a little white tab on some guys, because that's the only good part that they might have that day. The word of God coming out. Everything else is black. Another trick. Sermon isn't the high point. The high point is when we finally get to what we call the sacrament of the altar. It's here where we reach the highest point of God's divine service, because we can't get any closer to God, and God can't get any closer to you, because He is going to be part of you. The same body and blood of Christ through that simple bread and wine is actually going to be received through and in you. Once more, God's going to be inside of you, his spirit determining what you do today. And that's what makes our Lutheran worship so wonderful. Is that even though I might mess up as a sermon writer or a sermon giver, I might say something that you might not like that day. I might not give a very good sermon one day. It does happen. The Word of God's going to speak through some of these other things. A hymn, a creed spoken, the Word of God read and heard if you've opened your heart today. That's why we have these things. That's why we do these things. The liturgy, the sacraments, our historic Lutheran confession, celebrating our Christian liberty, the freedom that we get to do these things, that the freedom that women can speak in our church and read scripture aloud, wonderful things. Why we can dress down on some days, why we can dress up some days and just be who we are. It all goes back to that one thing. Christ is always at the center. Now, what about that? This will be the determining factor as we hear and answer this question in the next few weeks as we study this question. What about? Until that time, may the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.